Chapter 13. Joe Hardy swung the shovel as if it were a baseball bat, but Frank knew the result would not be a home run. If the sharp metal head caught him in the neck, it could decapitate him. Frank flung himself backward. The head of the shovel passed close enough to his face for him to feel the wind of its passage.
"What's the matter with you?"
Frank yelled angrily.
"Have you gone crazy?"
Joe's only response was a wordless bellow as he wound up to swing again.
"Joe!"
Frank had to duck again as his brother launched another ferocious attack at him. That's enough batting practice, Frank decided. This time, he didn't let Joe go into his follow-through with the shovel. He grabbed onto the wooden center pole, trying to yank the shovel out of Joe's hands. Joe responded with a roar. The two brothers wrestled for control, holding the shovel at chest level, standing eye to eye. That was when Frank noticed the tiny dart sticking out of the side of Joe's neck. "I guess I have my answer," he thought. "They've shot him full of something. He is crazy." Frank wanted to remove the dart, but to do that would give Joe the shovel and probably get him brained. He'd have to try another way.
"Joe!"
Frank yelled into his brother's face.
"Don't you recognize me?"
It took a few shouts, but Joe finally responded.
"Dead!"
he shouted.
"You're all dead!"
"What's this all business?"
Frank demanded.
"There's just you, me, and the graveyard!"
But Joe's eyes glared over his shoulder, scanning an apparently huge number of invisible enemies.
"I see the dead all around us, coming to get me! Get me for Iola! Let go of the shovel!"
Joe shook the handle so fiercely, he almost flung Frank away. Frank managed to maintain his grip.
"Who? What dead?"
Joe glanced toward a grave topped with a soaring angel.
"There! The assassin who tried to kill me on the airplane! There! The race car driver who fell to his death while I chased him! Ah! Burned! Horrible!"
He looked in another direction.
"The guys in the van who shot us till we drove them off the road! They're here too! With guns!"
Joe tore the shovel from Frank's grasp and swung it at empty air. Then he whipped around and smashed the top of a gravestone. Frank leapt for Joe's back and put his arms around Joe, pinning his younger brother's arms. Joe continued to grip the shovel, however.
"Do you know me?"
Frank yelled in his brother's ear. In the middle of trying to pull free, Joe suddenly stopped and looked over his shoulder at his brother.
"Frank, it's really you?"
Then a deeper horror settled on Joe's face.
"You're dead too? She brought you after me?"
Joe tore free and swung the shovel again. Frank flung himself away before it could connect and landed flat on his back. Joe towered over him, raising the shovel for a two-handed blow. "I can't beat him," Frank thought, "so I'd better distract him."
"Joe!"
he yelled.
"Behind you!"
Joe whipped around to swing his weapon at a series of enemies only he could see.
"Joe! I'm on your side!"
Frank yelled.
"I won't let anyone get you!"
"My side?"
Joe echoed in a quieter voice.
"Joe!"
Frank tried to get up, only to narrowly miss getting his head smashed.
"Stay down!"
Joe warned.
"Maybe you're tricking me. You always liked Iola. You picked on me for making her feel bad."
Frank stayed on the ground, and Joe concentrated his swings on some of his invisible enemies.
"Joe, the Iola who's been calling you isn't real. She's a clone, a lookalike created at the Lazarus Clinic."
"Lazarus?"
Joe actually stopped in mid-swing.
"She's a fake, Joe. Whoever you've been seeing, they aren't real. I've been up to the Lazarus Clinic. I've seen a fake gray man. A fake Al Rasasa."
His breath came in a sudden gasp.
"A fake Callie."
Frank hit his forehead with the heel of one hand. He couldn't believe that he had missed such an obvious clue. When they set off for Maine, Callie had given him her new scarf, and he dropped it at the hangar during the fight. He had it in his pocket only now because Matt had returned it. So how could Callie have been gagged with it when the blade fell? "I must have been really tired not to figure that one out," thought Frank. It was obvious that the clone masters had made a copy of Callie. They'd probably been pressed for time since she'd gone to Maine on the spur of the moment, but they had surveillance pictures, fax machines, and probably a fast plane to bring in whatever they needed. The scarf that shouldn't have been there was just a detail lost in the rush. They probably had their creation strapped to the table from the moment he and the real Callie entered the clinic. Then it was a case of grabbing his Callie and leading him to the clone. Suddenly, he recalled hearing a voice calling his name when he returned to the clinic. That must have been the real Callie!
"She's alive, Joe!"
he yelled out in relief.
"Alive!"
"Alive?"
Joe said foggily.
"Who?"
"Callie!"
Frank shouted the name.
"I don't know where they're holding her, but she's alive! I don't know where she is, but we can save her.
Joe stared down at Frank.
You're not making any sense. And we can't even save ourselves. Ghosts after us.
Despite the seriousness of the situation, Frank almost had to laugh at Joe saying that he wasn't making any sense. Joe went back to battling imaginary demons. At least, Frank thought, he seems willing to think I'm alive now. If I can only get close enough to get that dart out of his neck. The longer it's there, the more demented he'll get.
Joe, if Callie is alive, there must be a reason. Maybe the assassins thought they'd need information from her to make this bizarre farce work better.
For a second, hope lit Joe's tortured face.
Mom? Could Mom still be alive?
Frank was chilled. Their mother wasn't at home. Had she too fallen into the hands of the assassins? The thought was more than he could deal with.
I think so,
he told Joe, silently praying that he was right. Joe stopped swinging the shovel, and his eyes fixed on Frank with desperate intensity.
And Vanessa? She could still be alive too?
His voice held a pleading note that nearly broke Frank's heart.
Yes,
Frank said.
They'd want her to tell them things too. Things they couldn't find out. Things that only the two of you would know. The assassins would need that.
Assassins!
Joe was back into his hallucinatory battle.
One of those out there, the one who took poison rather than answer questions. Pale, horrible, rotting!
Joe swung and chopped as though he were fighting for his life. Now Frank had to fight just as hard for Joe's sanity.
Listen to me!
Frank rose to his knees, risking a blow from the shovel.
Joe, they're not real. Can you touch them?
Joe shuddered.
Don't want to. Dead. Rot. Slime.
He looked beyond Frank and gagged.
Brains coming out.
I tell you, they're not real. Do you feel it when your shovel hits them?
Joe paused, his phantom-racked brain trying to think.
Sometimes,
he said.
That's because sometimes you're hitting gravestones when you swing,
Frank said. He held up an arm.
Look, I'm real. Touch me.
Hesitantly, as if he feared a horrible trick, Joe reached out.
You're real. You're warm. Frank, you are alive.
I came all the way back from Maine to save you. Come on, Joe. It's up to us to save the others.
Them?
Joe gestured in horror to the army of phantom figures he believed surrounded them.
No, Joe, they're not real. We have real people to save. Mom, Callie, Vanessa.
Iola says they're dead. Next they'll be coming to get me for her.
Iola is fake, Joe. She's just somebody they've made to look like her. Remember how they did that before?
Joe was trembling so badly, he dropped the shovel.
No. A ghost! She knows all about me! She knew what we said right before... Before she...
The word came out as a broken cry.
Died.
Frank's mind raced. The other double had been programmed with all sorts of information from Iola's diaries. But where could the assassin have learned about Iola and Joe's final argument? Then he had it.
Joe! There was someone else who saw the whole thing! The girl you were talking to! What was her name? Viv? Val?
Val!
Joe nodded his head vigorously.
You're right. Smart, Frank.
His eyes burned as he focused on Frank.
Iola's not a ghost?
No ghost.
Frank assured him, slowly getting to his feet.
She's a fake. If she were a ghost, would she need to shoot you full of crazy juice?
Shoot me?
Joe echoed.
Here.
Still concerned that he would frighten Joe, Frank pointed at the dart embedded in Joe's neck rather than reach over and pull it out.
Feel there.
Joe's hand went to the side of his neck. He discovered the dart and pulled it free.
What?
He said, completely baffled as he stared at it.
What?
Nice try,
a voice said from behind them.
Very good indeed.
It was a bright voice, the voice of an eager young woman. It was also a voice that shouldn't have existed on Earth anymore.
Iola!
Joe cried. He turned to stare at her, then fell to his knees with a whimper. The figure before them was dressed in gauzy white, with the pixie features and dark hair of Iola Morton. Looking at her a little critically, Frank noticed that although her voice was mocking, the face hardly moved.
I see the assassins still haven't managed to get rid of the stone face effect with their facial surgery.
It worked well enough to convince you that your Callie had died,
the false Iola said.
I was far enough away that I couldn't really see.
Frank said, his eyes narrowed.
You sound like Iola and look like her, but I get the feeling you're a lot older.
Again, the double's voice dripped scorn, but her face remained immobile.
Did you think we would entrust work this important to an 18-year-old? I am considerably older. My specialty is psychological warfare. I had your brother well-conditioned, yet you managed to break through. I compliment you on your good work, but I shall have to end it now.
Her hand, until then hidden in the gauzy gown, came up. The woman who looked like Iola Morton held a pistol, and it was aimed at Frank Hardy's head. End of chapter.